The evidence is overwhelming.
Billions of years.
Science has settled this.
But has it really?
He's a double major, physics and astronomy, holding a PhD in astrophysics from the same universities that teach what he now dismantles. He's also a published author, a Fortis Fellow, and a Christian who believes the Bible means exactly what it says. This is In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle.
Has the James Webb Space Telescope confirmed biblical creation? Hi folks, this is Jason Lyle. I'm an astrophysicist with Fortis Institute, and today we're going to look at the findings of the James Webb Space Telescope, and we'll see that yes, indeed, it has confirmed biblical creation, and it's done that in a number of ways. But at first, I want to talk about the spacecraft itself and what makes it so interesting and remarkable. Now, most people are familiar with the Hubble Space Telescope. The Hubble Space Telescope was launched in 1990. It was named after Edwin Hubble. He was an astronomer who discovered that the distance of a galaxy is related to its redshift, how much its light has been stretched out. So the farther away a galaxy is, the more its light has been stretched to longer wavelengths. Now, the Hubble Space Telescope is a 2.4-meter mirror. That's 7 foot 10 inches. That's pretty big, but there are ground-based telescopes that are bigger. What makes the Hubble unique is that it is above the Earth's atmosphere. It's a space telescope orbiting just a few hundred miles above the Earth. The advantage of that low Earth orbit is that it's accessible by astronauts. If something goes wrong with Hubble, and it has in the past, then we can send astronauts up to fix it. In fact, the instruments in Hubble have been upgraded a number of times since its initial launch, and that's the advantage of a low Earth orbit. Now, Hubble basically sees what you would see if your eyes were much, much bigger, basically. It sees the visible spectrum of light. It can do a little bit beyond that. It can see a little bit of infrared and a little bit of ultraviolet, but primarily it sees what you see. And so when you see these amazing images of various nebulae and so on that have been captured by Hubble, that's kind of what it would look like if you were there or if your eyes could zoom in to that distance. Now, sometimes they'll use false color to bring out certain details of a nebula. That's not to be deceptive. It's just that the Hubble has more color filters than the human eye has varieties of cones. And so there's different ways you can assign those colors. But often the images are as they would appear in natural light to human eyes if our eyes were able to see to such incredible distances. But it was really a remarkable thing because all these crystal clear images that we have of galaxies and planets and so on, they just didn't exist before 1990. In the older textbooks, all images of galaxies looked just a little bit blurry. But with Hubble, because it's above the blurring effects of Earth's atmosphere, it can see these galaxies and nebulae and planets in crystal clear quality. It's really remarkable. Well, one of the things that the Hubble telescope can do is it can peer very deep into space. And the problem with peering deep into space to see other galaxies is that we have to look through our galaxy, and some of our own stars get in the way. So, at one point, astronomers decided to point the Hubble telescope in a direction of space where our own galaxy has relatively few stars. It's a section near the Big Dipper, and they pointed the Hubble telescope there in what's called the Hubble Deep Field, and they saw thousands and thousands of distant galaxies, each one containing hundreds of billions of stars, but they're so far away that many of them just look like a little point of light on an image. Really remarkable. And these galaxies are so far away that their light has been redshifted by a factor of 6, and that corresponds to a distance of about 12.8 billion light years. Now, when people hear that term, light year, they think, well, does that mean it's millions of years old? The answer is no. Light year is a unit of distance. It means these galaxies are very far away. But the Hubble Deep Field was a little bit of a surprise to secular astronomers because in the secular view, as you look deeper into space, you're seeing these galaxies not as they are now, but as they were. And in secular thinking, as they were billions of years ago. After all, we're told that light takes billions of years to get from those galaxies to the Earth. Now, it turns out that's not necessarily true. The physics that Einstein discovered showed that the speed of light in any one direction can be as much as instantaneous, as long as the round-trip speed is 186,000 miles per second. In other words, the light can actually be different in different directions, providing its round-trip speed is constant. That's apparently what's set by God. But the one-way speed is a humanly stipulated convention. This is something that Einstein talked about, and it's basically why we can see the universe in real time today, depending on how we define what now means. But in any case, in the secular view, secular astronomers believe that as you look deeper into space, you're looking back to a time. And in the Hubble Deep Field, you're seeing galaxies, some of the farthest ones, as they were only a billion years after the Big Bang. And so it was a little bit surprising to see massive, fully formed galaxies so soon after the Big Bang, because it's supposed to take many billions of years for them to grow and it become the beautiful spiral structures that we see nearby. So they thought, well, we need to go deeper into space. You go deeper into space, it's like looking even further back in time. And so they took the Hubble Ultra Deep Field. And again, you see galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies out to a redshift of 8.3, which corresponds to a distance of 13.1 billion light years. Now, in secular thinking, that means we're seeing these galaxies only 700 million years after the Big Bang. Now, again, I reject the Big Bang, but it would be surprising from the secular point of view that galaxies could form so quickly when they're such massive structures and it ought to take many hundreds of millions of years for them to form. But Hubble can only see so far into space. It really can't go out too much deeper because of what we call the Hubble Law. Named after Edwin Hubble, who discovered that the farther away a galaxy is, the more its light has been stretched to longer wavelengths. But Hubble can only see basically the same wavelengths that we can see. It can go a little bit into the infrared and ultraviolet. But what that means is there are galaxies so far away that their light has been stretched beyond the ability of Hubble's instruments to detect it. They're just not designed to pick up these longer wavelengths. That was the purpose of the James Webb Space Telescope. You see, the James Webb Space Telescope doesn't see the same wavelengths of light that Hubble sees. Rather, the James Webb Space Telescope looks at infrared wavelengths of light, wavelengths of light that are stretched out beyond our ability to detect. And for that reason, it's able to see galaxies that are much farther away than what Hubble can see because they have their light's been stretched out to wavelengths beyond Hubble's detection criteria. So the James Webb Space Telescope, it was planned back in the 1980s, even before Hubble had launched, and scientists were already planning this wonderful successor to Hubble. It was initially called the Next Generation Space Telescope, and I remember discussing this telescope back when I was in grad school back in 1998 in one of my instrumentation classes. I actually know people who designed various aspects of the telescope and the way it unfolds and so on. It's an amazing, amazing instrument. Cost $11 billion, but your tax money well spent because it is an incredible instrument. Named after James Webb, he was the director of NASA from 1961 to 1968. And if you know your history, those were the early stages of the Apollo program. James Webb successfully pushed for federal funding for that program. And so if you're happy that we went to the moon, you can thank James Webb for being a big part of that. He passed away in 1992, and so he never got to see the spacecraft that now bears his name. Now, the James Webb Space Telescope is much bigger than Hubble. Hubble is, again, 2.4 meters across, where Webb is 6.5 meters. That's over 21 feet across. And that's so big that that single mirror would not fit in any rocket that we have. And so rather than developing one big mirror, the scientists and engineers that worked on the Webb telescope made it 18 hexagonal segments that fit together like a honeycomb and form essentially one big mirror, but some of those columns, the outer columns, can fold back so that it can fit into a rocket, and then after it goes into space, they can unfold and form the entire mirror. Pretty amazing. Now, that large mirror means that the Webb has more what we call light-gathering power than Hubble. It can see fainter things in shorter periods of time. But the main difference, as I mentioned earlier, is that the James Webb Space Telescope is designed to look into these longer wavelengths of light, what we call infrared, that human beings cannot see and that the Hubble cannot see. But these are the exact wavelengths that the most distant galaxies would have because their light has been stretched because they're moving away from us at high speed or due to expansion of the universe, depending on your interpretation. And for this reason, the James Webb Space Telescope has a rather different design from Hubble. You might have noticed that the mirror, if you've ever seen pictures of the James Webb Space Telescope, the mirror has this gold tint to it, and that's because it's actually plated with gold. Now, for visible telescopes, telescopes that look invisible light, the frequencies that we see, aluminum or silver are usually what you'd plate the mirror with because silver reflects visible light very well, but gold reflects infrared light very well. So that's why they plated it with gold. The James Webb Space Telescope also has this enormous sun shield beneath it, about the size of a tennis court, and that's because it requires very cold temperatures. Now, why is that? Well, at room temperature, we actually give off infrared radiation. If you could see infrared frequencies, you could see yourself and you would be glowing in infrared. It would be rather remarkable. For this reason, the spacecraft is at the L2 Lagrangian point, over 1,000,000 miles away from Earth out in space. At that distance, the spacecraft cools to only 40 degrees above absolute zero. So when they pointed this telescope into deep space in the year 2022, what did it find? Was it able to see galaxies just starting to form shortly after the Big Bang? After a short break, we'll find out.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Jason Lyle in just a moment, who's walking through the James Webb Space Telescope today and what it found when it looked into deep space. He says $11 billion built that telescope. And that's what it took to gather the data that Dr. Lyle is explaining to you right now. What it took to get that explanation into your ears, however, is considerably smaller. I see a group of Christians, men and women, just like you, we call them gospel partners. They decided to link arms with us here at Fortis Institute because they believe in our mission so much that they wanted to make sure that you would be able to have access to the content that we are creating. In this program or any of the other content that we're producing at Fortis Institute, maybe that's you. Maybe you want to join the ranks of our gospel partners so that more people in more places all over the world would also have access to the content we're creating for free. Well, let me tell you how to do that. The simple way to do it is to visit fortisinstitute.org and to get all of the questions that you likely have about what it's going to look like in your life to become a gospel partner. Get all those questions answered at fortisinstitute.org. But there are a couple of caveats to becoming a gospel partner, and I do want to take a moment to explain that to you because you're not going to hear this from a lot of other ministries. We say it up front, and that is, number one, if joining us as a gospel partner would become a burden on your family, don't join us. It's simple as that. Don't give to our ministry if it's going to become a burden on your family. Don't do that. We appreciate the desire to want to join us as a gospel partner. We certainly appreciate it, but we don't want to be a burden on your family. And number two, if you're not faithfully giving to your local church, do not ever give to our ministry or any other for that matter. Your first priority as a Christian is to your local church. And so that's where you need to be giving faithfully. And if you're not already doing that right now, get that taken care of before you give to anyone else. Get that part of your life taken care of. And then once you do, if you have a means where you could still join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we would be honored to link arms with you and stand with you. And again, you can get all of the information about what that would look like in your life right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Now let's get back to Dr. Jason Lyle. This is In the Beginning.
For me, when I study the universe, I'm studying the handiwork of God. I don't know how secular people do it. I don't know how they can enjoy something that they think is just chance.
And now back to In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle.
Welcome back, folks. This is Dr. Lyle with Fortis Institute, and we've been discussing the James Webb Space Telescope. This was launched in December of 2021. And in July of 2022, it reported its first images of the distant universe, the most distant images we have to date. But what is it that secularists were expecting to find in these images? Well, There were several predictions they were making. First of all, in the secular view, as you look farther into space, you're effectively looking back in time because you're seeing the universe not as it is, but as it was allegedly billions of years ago. Now, I disagree with that, but based on that thinking, secular astronomers were expecting that the James Webb Space Telescope would see a region of the universe that is so far back in time that there were no galaxies, and that ought to correspond to a redshift of about 14, where the light's been stretched 14 times. In secular thinking, that corresponds to a time only 300 million years after the supposed Big Bang. Again, I reject that way of thinking, but that was their prediction. If galaxies take more than 300 million years to form, then you shouldn't find any at earlier times. And frankly, you should find very few as you approach a redshift of 14. Second, the secular astronomers predicted that the farthest galaxies, which in their view are the youngest, earliest galaxies, should be very low mass, clumpy, and irregular. Well, that's because galaxies are supposed to form, in the secular view, as stars gather together. And of course, the earliest galaxies should have relatively few stars because it takes them time to collect stars and to collide with other galaxies and grow in mass. And their structure should be clumpy because it's supposed to take many hundreds of millions of years for those galaxies to grow in size and smooth out and become the beautiful spiral and elliptical galaxies that we find nearby. Third, the farthest galaxies were expected to have no what are called heavy elements. Now, in astronomy, a heavy element really is anything heavier than helium. The lightest two elements, hydrogen and helium, are supposed to be produced in the Big Bang, maybe trace amounts of lithium and beryllium, the next two elements, but none of the heavy stuff, carbon, oxygen, none of the heavier elements that we're made of can be produced in the Big Bang because the conditions supposedly were not correct for the formation of any of the heavier elements. Now, if you're wondering, well, how do secular astronomers account for the fact that Earth and human beings are made of these heavier elements? Well, they would say that those heavier elements were not produced in the Big Bang, but were produced in the cores of very massive stars much later. And then as those massive stars produced the heavy elements in their core and then exploded, that's supposed to contaminate the universe with some of the heavier elements so that the next generation of stars incorporates things like oxygen and carbon into their structure. And indeed, we know that nearby stars like the Sun or any of the stars in our local neighborhood do have a small amount of heavy elements like oxygen, carbon, and iron for that matter. But the first generation of stars, those that supposedly developed simply from the gas produced in the Big Bang, should have none of those heavy elements because the Big Bang is not able to produce them. These hypothetical metal-free stars are called Population 3 stars, and it was expected that the James Webb Space Telescope would be able to detect them in the most distant galaxies. Well, I'm a biblical creationist. I don't believe in the Big Bang, and so I made some predictions as well based on my best understanding of what the Bible teaches. And so my predictions basically were the opposite of what secularists were expecting. I predicted, first of all, that the limit of galaxies at redshift 14 would not exist. I was expecting there would be lots of galaxies at great distances, even beyond a redshift of 14. Because I don't believe we're looking back in time. I believe we're seeing the universe in real time based on the way that we define now according to biblical criteria. Furthermore, I would expect that those most distant galaxies would not be babies, but rather fully formed, massive, and well-structured. And that's because I don't believe that galaxies necessarily grow over time, because that would take billions of years, and I don't believe the universe is that old. Rather, I believe God spoke the galaxies into existence because that's what he says he did on day 4 of the creation week, according to Genesis chapter 1. And so I'm expecting adult galaxies in the same way that God created Adam and Eve as adults. Furthermore, I'm expecting that these farthest galaxies will have heavy elements. I don't believe in the Big Bang that there was a time when the universe had only hydrogen, helium, and maybe a little bit of lithium and beryllium with no heavy elements, because I know from the Bible that the universe had heavy elements right away. For example, in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, we know that God created the earth and the Holy Spirit was hovering over the surface of the waters. That means earth had water on it to begin with on day one. And water is H2O. That O is oxygen. That's what astronomers call a heavy element. Stars aren't made until day four. So I know from Scripture that the heavy elements already existed before the first stars were created. And frankly, I was confident enough in my predictions and that the secular predictions would be wrong. And I have that confidence because I believe the Bible. And for that reason, I even made a prediction about how secularists would respond when their predictions failed. Basically, I predicted that rather than give up the Big Bang, they would simply push galaxy evolution to a much earlier time. And they would say things like, Webb discovers that galaxies formed much earlier than previously thought. I think that's a necessary response rather than give up the Big Bang when they found galaxies at much greater distances than they were expecting. Now, I made all these predictions back in January of 2022. This is before James Webb had given us any data about the distant universe. And you can read these predictions on the Biblical Science Institute website at biblicalscienceinstitute.com and then go back to the January 21st, 2022 article in our archives. So what did we see? Well, in July of that same year, we got the first images back from the James Webb Space Telescope, the James Webb Deep Field, where it peered into a very distant region of the universe. And did it see just very few galaxies and see a distance where there were no galaxies? Well, no. Not at all. In fact, if you look at the James Webb Deep Field, you'll see galaxies upon galaxies upon galaxies at tremendous distances. And we've now been able to estimate the distances to these galaxies, and indeed, many of them are beyond a redshift of 14, the theoretical cutoff. And that means that in the secular view, there were galaxies before they thought that galaxies should have time to form. Very interesting, but perfectly consistent with my biblical creation prediction that God didn't stop making galaxies at that distance. Second, we found that these farthest galaxies are not little baby low-mass galaxies, but are fully formed, massive, and well-structured galaxies. Indeed, some of these galaxies are as massive as nearby galaxies. It's almost as if these galaxies were simply spoken into existence by God. It's not as though they evolved from babies over millions or billions of years. We've even discovered evidence of barred spirals. Those are spiral galaxies that have the inner portion of their spiral as kind of a straight line going through the bulge of the galaxy. Those were supposed to have taken 6 billion years to form in the secular view, but there they are at the farthest regions of the universe at times that secularists would say are very shortly after the Big Bang. And what about the prediction that these farthest galaxies would lack heavy elements like oxygen and nitrogen, things that astronomers call metals, even though they're not metals in a chemical sense. Well, did we find these metal-free galaxies? Well, no. The James Webb Space Telescope is equipped with a spectroscope, which has the capacity to divide light into the various wavelengths, and based on which wavelengths are present or missing, we can determine what the substance was that made the light. And we have detected evidence of things like oxygen in these very distant galaxies. So yes, indeed, the farthest galaxies do have heavy elements, just as we creationists predicted. Well, what about my prediction of how the secularists would respond when all their predictions failed? Remember, I claimed that they would say something like, Webb discovers that galaxies formed much earlier than previously thought. Well, here's what they did say. Galaxies started forming much earlier than many astronomers previously thought. That's from UConn Today, August 9, 2022. Here's another response. Massive galaxies formed earlier in the universe than previously known. That's from Nature News, July 27, 2022. Here's another one. Evidence is building that the first galaxies formed earlier than expected. That's from Sky and Telescope, January 10, 2023. Here's another one. A lot of galaxies could have been formed in the universe much earlier than previously thought. That's from space.com, January 12, 2023. So clearly, the secularists responded in the way that we predicted. They did not give up the Big Bang, but rather modified their ideas of how galaxies evolve over time and how galaxies form. To say that they must have formed much faster in the earlier universe than we had thought previously. So, if you're keeping score, basically, the secular prediction was that fewer galaxies would exist at these great distances and essentially none beyond a redshift of 14. Well, that's falsified. The James Webb has confirmed the creationist prediction that there would be many galaxies at great distances, even beyond a redshift of 14. What about the secular prediction that the farthest galaxies would be low mass and basically clumpy, basically baby galaxies? Well, that's been refuted. The James Webb Space Telescope observations have confirmed the creation prediction that the farthest galaxies would be fully designed and mature. What about the secular prediction that the farthest galaxies would have no heavy elements? Well, that's been refuted. James Webb Space Telescope has confirmed the creation prediction that the farthest galaxies would have these heavy elements like oxygen and carbon and so on. Folks, it's a very exciting time to be a Christian because we're seeing all these new discoveries that confirm exactly what the Bible teaches. Thanks for listening. God bless.
This has been In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed In the Beginning with Dr. Jason Lyle, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family. Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.